Hey, kids, what time is it? That's right, it's 9 p.m. Sunday night, and it's time for What the Hell? You can chat with us in the Downnet servers in the Rams Radio Channel, or check out the webcam at www.ramsradio.com. And now it's time to check in with the gang on What the Hell?
Hello.
Ow.
Well, don't tell me that hurt your ears.
I just don't like that sound.
Of course it sounds.
I can see it hurt from James here.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
No, it doesn't hurt. It's just I really don't like that sound.
Oh, really?
It just causes everything on my inside to just kind of go.
Can you see that one page down? This is weird.
Have you tried to use it
before? Check. Keep talking. There we go. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Bear with us.
Wow, we got technical
difficulties. Good.
Hey.
I'm
here. I
heard myself. Okay, we're all in order now. It goes this way. Great. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the What the Hell show, I think, on Rant Radio. We're not quite organized yet. We don't need to hear ourselves.
We're just really
setting up. Okay, first of all, there's DNS problems. So all you lucky listeners out there that are listening to, there we go. Lieutenant Major Zombie is being a very helpful person. Look at that. He has given out the IP addresses for people to listen to. Those are the two working ones. Good job, actually.
Good.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Now, Infolute is known.
Well, maybe Infolute isn't.
You're going to be hearing a lot of awesome jokes tonight. Don't ask me to explain it. It's just going to happen.
Oh, you're going to walk back here. You're going to move back
to the. You fell into the sleep. You're
more sugar.
So, how are we all doing tonight?
Carbon?
Yes.
We have some bird cookies in the house today.
Carbon?
Bird cookies.
Burr.
We're working on getting a third server up. Burr. Let's see how many people are actually listening in. Just to see if we've got some success. Hopefully my ICQs are going out and people are getting them. And I did give out the wrong IP address. Well, there's some people listening. That's good enough for me. How about you, Barry?
Sure.
Okay.
Which is Dr. Pepper's mine? What are you doing? Huh?
Mine is the empty one.
Okay. That works.
So it's going to be a little disorganized tonight. I have to get up. And as if it isn't always.
I know what I am buying this group for Christmas. I'm getting them those little...
magnetic name tags?
No, the little... Too bad no one's taking
them.
Little hand cozies. With everybody's name on them.
That would rock.
That's not a bad
thing. This group definitely needs help.
Oh, yeah. Some form or another. Can cozies will be a start. That'll help, too, when we can get
good follow-up.
What would?
Deep psychological therapy is a good follow-up.
Yeah.
So I guess you won't be able to see the webcam tonight. The problem is the DNS. The DNS servers. And what DNS does is changes names into numbers. So when you try and type in www.rantradio.com, it won't change it into a number, so your computer can understand it. And you, therefore, will not get our webpage.
So we can't
You can't log on to the webpage right now?
If I found out the number.
You don't know the number.
In order to do a lookup for the number,
I need
DNS working. I don't have my webpage memorized. It might be 205.206.214.
Why don't you try that?
53.
Why don't you try that?
We could try random numbers until
Let's
we get
Let's try
it.
Random numbers.
Okay. It's 205.206.214.53. And we wait.
It's contacting the host.
It's contacting the host. It could, be that all of my work is down.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're witnessing a new
moment.
This morning is tomorrow.
Thankfully, not too much goes through my work, except for the DNS. Obviously. Well, let's try the major webpage. Oh, got contacted.
It's waiting for a reply.
Something bad is happening at work.
Isn't this the wonders of technology? Here, you folks out there, you guys are listening to someone else wait for a web page to start.
Wow, technology.
Something never ends here at Rant Radio.
The bad thing is I'm not going into work tomorrow morning. I'm going somewhere else.
Where are you going?
I'm going to a client's place to work on their computer.
You know what?
I think at work you're going to panic.
I don't think you are, actually.
No, I am.
I have a feeling you're not.
No.
I have a feeling they're going to call you and say, you know what? You're not going to the clients today. You're coming in here.
They know how to deal with it at work. This kind of thing. I mean, it's like the router is not working or something like that. Something very simple. Well, it's contacted, obviously.
Anyways,
they just have to reboot. And then
can they hear us?
Give them a mic. Okay. We can borrow one. There's plenty of mics to go around.
Are you aware of the Windows NT server bug?
Which one is it?
Too many small files and she crashes?
Too many small files.
Yep.
That one.
Do you have 98 on
there? No, at work. At work.
That's what happened at work. Hard drive goes, bye.
Can't deal with it.
That screws the allocation tables.
Interesting.
Oh, well, who cares?
Well, I installed a new backup program at work recently.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it backs up many, many files. Many, many thousands of them. So that could have been it. And it's the one that the web server is sitting on. So we can do a little test here and see if any of the other servers are up.
That possum just really stuck in your mind.
The possum.
That possum again.
Hey, and Palloop and Lieutenant Major Zombie, how are you doing tonight?
You know, it's the loyal listeners the hordes of our loyal fans that just keep us doing this.
It's because we know we can always go back and see all those, you know, the masses calling to us every week.
Oh, Shazport and Captain Hire on another server.
The Edmonton Delnet server. Well, how come we can't see them here?
Somebody has a binary.
Isn't it kind of sad, though, when
I'm going to check my security and see if that's, flaking out.
Go for it.
I'm going to go. So now I'm going to go.
All right. Somebody's got the webcam.
That's not
right. Hey! Oh, no. Oh, no, they're listening. Yes, it is the girl on the left.
Incidentally, I am still on the left, even though you can't see me.
No, she's not. She's lying to me now. Play a game for you.
She's really very conservative.
She's always telling people that.
Excuse me.
I never hit the truth out of that girl.
She really didn't go on genetic.
What's that?
Never mind. I was going to make an American political joke about being a Republican, but I decided, what's the point?
Are you excusing me of being a Republican?
No, I wouldn't do that.
ICQ is going
like
glacial speed.
Glacial speed.
ICQ is going.
So it's
going
to get there, but...
Eventually, you know, halfway through the show, some people will start receiving their ICQ, but the show will be on an hour beforehand.
That's
great.
Well, apparently Shazbot and Caffeine High are on...
Watch out.
The Edmonton...
Okay.
DLA
or
DLA.
Delnet. Delnet. So, hi. Oh, NetSplit. Oh, okay. I see why they're not here. So,
to all our listeners, whoever, wherever you are,
out there,
our other two listeners on the split, hi.
So, let's get to the news of the week.
Should we haven't said hello?
Oh.
We haven't
said hello.
I did.
So, I
said hello.
How do you get on the count?
All right.
Thanks, man. and I'm going to go on the camera. Hi, I'm Peter.
He's Sumerian, he is white.
Hi, Skinny.
Drex.
My nose is itchy.
Is it itchy?
It's not itchy, it feels like there's big piles of snot in it. It's really annoying.
Dig away.
Get back, JoJo!
An Inky is sitting at the computer, fiddling around, hopefully not destroying things. Give us a smile. That's great. That's great. Okay.
I'm not sure if it was interesting. I can't remember. But I was going to say what happened on the show.
Red Radio, brought to you by drugs.
So it's kind of funny.
You're listening, you need more.
So essentially what is, I can't remember the thing that might not have been very interesting to say anyways. And I can't remember what it is to say.
Is this got to do with the eating nothing but like ice cream
and
breakfast
cereal
all day?
I have been using facial hyperventilation.
That's right. New and improved.
I bought a new computer yesterday. And then I went to sleep.
And between the time that you got the computer and now.
Not much.
What happened was I bought the computer. I just got it set up. I bought like a big 19-inch monitor.
You started playing Tomb Raider and you didn't
play. No, I don't play that game.
Woohoo! New top. Serious.
Give us a wave, anyway, my Dak.
This is Dak saying hello. So, then they made me play role-playing instead of playing with my computer. Can you believe that? I just got it set up. It's ready to go and I can, like,
those bastards.
Who was spend it? Some quality time with my computer.
Who was it?
James and Derek and Sean and Corey and Adrian.
Evil. All evil.
Inspiring games to me to make me play role-playing. Anyways, so when I got home at 3:30 in the morning, what do you do?
It's like your old computer, except faster.
I didn't get to play on it. I had to finish setting it up.
Oh, sweet Jesus, my words are my hammer.
Now we've got 200% sexy projectile ball, man.
6:30, setting up my computer. Wow, that was pleasant. That was nice.
Now we've got the girl on the left.
Hello.
Yay. And
you know,
we
can't
angry.
Actually hear you talking.
We don't.
I know.
They're
not very
entertaining.
Usually somebody else could take over introducing the people, but they can't, obviously.
They're
too lame.
We don't claim
anything.
We don't claim
anything. We're quite safe for that, man. Okay, now that is sounds like a conservative government. I mean, that's too
much. Oh, yeah.
That's claiming anything.
Hey, you know Loomis Courier?
Yes.
They don't use the word guarantee. And when you call them, they don't just not use it. They say, no, sorry, we don't use that word.
We
don't use the word guarantee.
It'll be there tomorrow.
No. But it's realistic, really. If you think about it, no one can guarantee the fucking package is going to be there. FedEx can say it's guaranteed all they want. But it's not really guaranteed because a guarantee, you can't guarantee anything.
That's right.
All you can do is, if it doesn't make it there, then do something to make up for it.
The plane crashed, but it will be there.
It's not a guarantee
for the company.
That's right. It's not a real guarantee.
Or your money back, or you don't have to pay for it, or something
else.
And
if you go to, hey.
What?
From a
it
business.
Says minimum 8 months.
Probably
never
from a business perspective.
Never saw that before either.
Guarantees are a guaranteed way to lose money.
Yes.
Guaranteed people will take
like,
advantage of it.
Like the McDonald's thing that we're discussing.
So we're at
16?
We're at 16.
Okay.
We have two split.
So
we can split it.
Actually, perhaps our American listeners can answer a question.
We need to buy a bit.
The local McDonald's.
Huh?
You want to fucking go?
Huh?
Hey.
Okay, McDonald's. The local McDonald's have started this wonderfully inane policy of as you go through the drive-thru, if they do not have your meal ready in 30 seconds or less, they give you a free sandwich of your choice, be it a Big Mac, whatever. Right, is that policy out there, or is it just the local pinheads here in British Columbia which have come up with this brilliant plan to financially guarantee the success of the company?
Probably local. I know the
McDonald's
don't do everything in the States and Canada at the same time.
I think it's really, really funny. I mean, I had a really simple order. All I needed was a Big Mac and two fries. And those are all ready, you know?
It's good for the consumer.
I showed up.
Maybe they figured they're making up for, like, the, you know,
incredibly high local minimum wage, you know, because the local NDP government is trying to stifle small business by, you know, paying those poor wretched 16-year-olds to have slicing lettuce in the back, you know, a buck more per hour than they do in Alberta.
But you know what? They don't even try, eh? I pulled up and they're like, and they're looking at they're looking at the 30-second thing flashing. It starts flashing after 30 seconds.
So there's like, a light?
So if they don't,
they have a little timer,
yeah, so you can see the timer. So Lieutenant Major's obviously, if they don't tell you, they got me all riled up.
Within 2 minutes, you get us freestyling?
Shut up, you.
That's what it's for. Do not have that. It takes like 2 minutes to half get it.
this is what we're
talking about. I don't get it.
But at Taco Bell, you can get a taco in 10 seconds. We're not asking how long it takes. We're asking if they have a policy that if they do not get your order to you from the drive-thru...
You want a what? Taco? Pull! Hey.
Thank you for calling Red Radio. Wait, I pressed the button. Damn it! Thank you for calling Red Radio. Who is this? Guess who it is?
Lieutenant Major Zombie.
Good guess!
Get the phone over here. Hey, Lieutenant Major Zombie, how's it going?
It's the chicken, I lied.
You tried. You tried really hard.
I did try.
So what's up, man?
I'm just calling to say that I'm getting here, on Devastor, so I'm going to head right now and...
Actually, sorry, Chicken, it's not time to call in yet.
No, no, he's saying something about...
It's not our call-in time of the show, so...
Somebody curb him.
Somebody curb stop him. Wait. Okay, what were you saying about the movie man and going to bed and all that?
Yeah, the movie man is going to bed and there's a lot of people all night that he's got to get the crack of dawn to do management stuff and...
Okay.
Well, I've got to get up to crack at dawn. I'm feeling well, going to work at my job, too, so...
Okay.
Let's go say
hi.
Go on.
Okay. We won't, then. Okay. Get away! Jeez.
Okay.
Drex is, like,
crazy
on the phone.
You know what? But I think I have a valid reason for it. It's not time to call in yet.
I think that's important information about not phoning and disturbing them.
That's right.
So sounds selfish to me.
Do you have a joke to tell us?
I have a joke to tell you. Yeah, okay, I've got a joke I can tell.
Because you got to make up for the movie, man.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
A little girl talks to her mom one day and she says, Mommy, Mommy, how babies and stuff like that? She says, well, it's pretty simple. So the man or the husband comes along and her daddy puts his penis in mommy's vagina and then he's got a couple months later there's a baby. And she's like,
I'll see you tomorrow at Fast
Lane.
Wait, come on, guys. We can give him some more support than that. I know what it's like to tell a joke and have no support. You know?
Yeah,
so let's try a little. No. All right. Listen. Let's give him some support.
That sounds like you're laughing at him.
That's not exactly. We have laughed every time you told a joke.
That's because he's in the room with strange knives.
No,
you didn't laugh.
You got to sat there and be like, was that a sentence?
We laugh every time you tell a joke.
Okay, we're going to laugh. That's not true.
That's just because usually after he tells a joke,
say what the hell.
Something funny.
Say what the hell.
You didn't laugh with me or at me at all. Actually,
you didn't tell the joke last time.
Into the microphone, Jack.
You didn't tell the joke.
I'm not arguing with you about it, okay? I'm not arguing with you about nothing.
Well, maybe
bring up a something topic and I'll argue with you, but I'm not going to argue with you on a nothing topic.
Maybe I can't argue about nothing.
Chicken sounded so much like a weird ass American. The chicken sounded so much like a weird-ass American drill. I didn't question for a second. It was Lieutenant Major
Really?
This is Lieutenant Major Zombie.
That's what it sounded like.
Lieutenant Major Zombie doesn't sound like that. Lieutenant Major Zombie sounds like somebody doing a really good... Honestly, sounds like somebody doing like a really good Beavis and Butthead impression.
Girl, you're cold.
The timbre of the voice, like the quality of the voice, somehow reminds me of that. But again, I'm not a Canadian. I don't believe that I've seen. I don't believe that I've ever heard the Lieutenant Major Zombie laugh like Beavis and Butthead.
Thank you.
What treat do we have later on?
We have
Paw Flakes.
Paw
Flakes.
Spell that out.
H-A-W. You know what hog likes to be from? They're made from hog. And sugar.
And sugar. You can't get more simple
than that. I found out about this wonderful product from some of my friends at the student paper up at Santa Fe University.
Uh-huh.
And,
Is it a candy, or do you put things on it? Or?
It's sort of...
Given out at church.
They look like
if they were white, I would recognize those.
Did you get my ICP?
Communion hoplites.
Yeah, they...
Communion hoplites.
Yes, I did.
They've got quite the interesting cover artwork on, because they've got these, you know, wonderfully painted sort of cherry-like branch, you know, very sort of impressionistic. And then at the bottom of it, they've got this whack-ass looking little cartoon character who looks like she's fucking cherry.
Disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it looks like the cherry is helping him.
Yeah, it looks like a submissive role.
Cherry is definitely dominant in that relationship.
Yeah. It must be sentient. So we're going to do the news of the week for our three listeners, or four listeners that we have.
Tell me when the screen cap works.
Quaint evening we have. And for you.
Yeah, for those of you who've seen Payback.
Gay. New
incidentally, ATV webcam is working.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
They're smart enough.
If they're smart enough,
they'll be able to see.
Yes,
but that's highly unlikely. But it's good for video capture later.
Well, that's highly unlikely.
Here's the news promo.
I know how stupid you all are. Let's have a contest here.
Guess the number. Tell everybody you can see the picture.
Time for the news and web pages of the week. If you have an interesting news item or web page, send it to me, Sumerian, at ICQ number 5-1.
Where did you find this?
The
I don't know, where did you find the peanuts?
I typed in peanuts theme and magically it appears. I'm amazing.
You are.
Finding things on the internet.
The master of the search.
I will be able to find anything.
I remember, I am not on the internet. The only time I...
You don't have to go on the internet to get it. It's on the Peanuts Christmas album, the soundtrack for the original special.
Oh, right, that's right. And we all have that. So I know what he's talking about. Actually, there's a couple of people who do have that.
You can go to any record store and get it very easily.
It was in the store.
And it probably cost about as much as... Oh, no, wait a minute. It costs a lot less on the internet.
Like free.
Don't eat it yet. We're going to do this as a feature. I'm just eating one. You guys can eat it. Hey, it's her. Junk food. She can get reactions.
You've already had these then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then
that's she lives. Good. We could all have one.
Yeah, nobody else eats them, and so we'll do this after the news.
I'd just like to go on the record now for saying I'm not eating any candy that advertises itself.
And sugar.
With cherries humping children. I will not eat cherries humping children.
Say no to fruit sex.
There's a lot of very disappointed bananas out there.
So here's two sad.
Coincidentally, you could probably find pictures on the internet about that too.
Well, you can.
Sex. Not just for animals anymore.
No matter how weird and degenerate, if you can imagine it, it's out there.
Cool.
Oh, did you show everybody that power puking picture I sent you before I went on vacation?
No, I didn't.
That's a lovely picture.
Very good, yes. Maybe I will remember to do that one time. There's two sad and lonely individuals who decided to put up a web page. It's called The Contest. Days with no sex. 199 and counting. It says, here's the story. Brandon and Rick never get laid. So on April 29th, 1999, while eating egg rolls, sweet and sour chicken at the mall, they decided to count the days until the next time one of them scores. The contest actually started a really, really long time ago because neither party is willing or able to produce accurate dates of any previous sexual encounters. April 29th will be ground zero. Rick and Brandon, the contestants, will keep a complete log of any progress they make in achieving their goal. The log can be seen here, assuming any progress is ever made. The winner of the contest gets a Jägermeister keychain. Here are the rules.
Jägermeister.
Sexual intercourse must occur between one of the contestants and a consenting female, henceforth referred to as subject, between the ages of 18 and 46. The subject must be human. Contestants can it be in no way related to the subject.
Oh.
Related does include cousins, second cousins, and half-sisters. The use of alcohol and or drugs is discouraged, but not against the rules. The contestants may not at any time mention the contest to the subject. Contestants may not offer money and or gifts in exchange for sex. Twinkies and other snack cakes are considered gifts.
Oh!
I'm gonna think I know her.
The subject must not be conducting any type of sexual, sociological, physiological, biological or geological
study.
Geological study. Yeah, on the contestants. We're not guinea pigs. Oral sex does not count, but it would be greatly appreciated. Subjects must be meeting the following physical qualifications. Must be within 60 pounds of the contestant's can have no more than 3 tattoos. Can have no more than 1 reproductive organ. No hermaphrodites. Cannot be connected to any life-preserving device. That goes in conjunction with the consenting part.
Is there anything about the contestant being alive then?
Yes. Consenting.
Consenting. That would be consenting. I don't think you can get consent from a dead person. So say,
over in the room. Doesn't want to have sex? Raise your hand. Sounds good.
What's that bad joke we heard? Long time ago when it comes to parties.
Oh, which one? That reminds me of
necrophilia, it means never having to say you're sorry.
Oh, yeah!
Deep sympathy.
Which is not released on any of the Spike and Mikes.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Subjects must meet the following intellectual qualifications. Must be a high school graduate or possess a GED. Must be able to speak at least one language semi-fluently. Cannot spell was or any other word ending with an S with a Z, i.e. was. I guess Lieutenant Major Zombie's out of the running at Hughes.
IRC folks.
No IRC folks.
You missed at least three girls, which would be disqualified.
Oh, okay. All right, this last one is going to be interesting. Proof of intercourse must be provided. A handwritten admission from the subject is the preferred form of proof. But just about anything will work. The honor system is to be observed.
I don't know if a full condom would
work.
I mean, you still can't prove it.
Yeah,
well, no, it depends what it smells like.
True. They've had 199 days to perfect the smell, I guess. Okay.
People, why do you know him?
Okay, let's check out
the birth.
Your parents are not an excuse.
Let's check out the log file of their progress. April 29th, 1999. The contest officially begins. April 30th, no progress to report. And it continues on till May 6th. Rick successfully acquires a girl's telephone number. Nothing happens till May 21st. Rick and Brandon go to the pub and look at butts. May 28th, Rick leaves rambling, incoherent message on girl's answering machine. June 2nd, Brandon passes up opportunity to win the contest with a weird girl.
Rick buys a comic book.
Somehow he sees this as progress in the contest.
I've seen some comic books. I think I know what he's talking about.
Instructional comic books. Okay. June 18th, Rick and Brandon almost witness two girls making out at Heroes. I guess that's a restaurant. Whoa, long stretch here. August 6th, Rick talks to a girl on phone. Sex is not discussed. Yes, it is the same girl from May 28th, 1999.
It's a long, dry summer.
Rick turns 23.
Oh. September 2nd, Brandon offers a girl the use of his dictionary. She says, no thank you. Wow, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. September 4th, Brandon forms a deep emotional bond with a beer coaster.
Oh, boy.
Scroll. October 23rd, Rick and Brandon go to a bar and actually talk to women.
Wow.
And that takes us to the present date. Well, almost until they update it.
Are they really trying to win this contest?
I think the real contest is to lose this contest.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Here's some weird mail that it got. Some of the people who visit the contest aren't content making bets. There's like a bet page, virtual bets. They're keeping records of those who bet on the loser will be expecting to pay up. Here they are. I think you'll win, but you'll need drugs. Good luck, Brandon. I don't know you, but I hope you win. Having your own set of dishes is a turn on. They have a little. I actually have a rundown. Maybe I should go to that.
No, no, this is fine.
That's fine. It tells a little about them. Name, Rick. Age, 23. Height, 5'10". Weight, 130 pounds. On the cusp, sign, on the cusp between Leo and Virgo. Favorite color, glow in the dark. Turn-ons, nice hair, a sense of humor, and a big-ass motherfucking, and big-ass motherfucking tits. Turn-off, I used to have some, but I just don't care anymore. Most impressive.
Yeah.
Most impressive achievements, staying not dead this long. And the other guy, Brandon, 23, 5'8", 140. A little bit shorter, a little bit fatter. Sign Aquarius, favorite color, grape sour appleberry. Turn-ons, nice hair, sense of humor, and big-ass motherfucking tits. Turn-offs, Jersey accents. Most impressive achievement, I have my very own dishes.
Hit on Brandon, he has much better taste.
Okay.
He has taste in many kinds. He's the only one that's making distinctions anymore.
Brilliant. Here's a sad couple of people. Another sad couple of people. These people were married.
Thank you.
Were married, but they're not married anymore. And it's titled Coupled Ordered to Split Bee Baby Collection.
Oh,
what?
Oh, God. Have we reached this low point?
No, this is great. This is great. Think of society so utopian where the only thing people can find to argue about is who gets to keep the beanie babies.
It's a different aspect of it.
I'm trying to think, like, so they have, like, a Solomonic decision here where it's like they're fighting over that...
we're going
to
chop it!
Yeah, they're fighting over that last...
beanie baby.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it's, you know, a, you know, like... they've got the stupidest names.
Hobby the Frog.
That's like, yeah, Batty the Bat.
Mabel the Bear was the first to go.
A divorced couple couldn't agree on how to split their beanie baby collection, so a judge ordered them on Friday to divide up the babies one by one in a courtroom. It's ridiculous and embarrassing, says Frances Mountain, moments before squatting on the courtroom floor, aside her ex-husbands to choose first from a pile of dozens of stuffed toys. Mabel the Bear was the first to go, as a few people in the gallery snickered. Wow, this could be a little undoing. It is so weird. Francis and Harold Mountain divorced 4 months ago, and according to the divorce decree, were supposed to split their beanie baby collection, estimated worth between $2,500 and $5,000. But they failed to do so. After Mountain filed a motion to get his share of the litter, the judge had said he had had enough. Because you folks can't solve this, it takes the services of a judge, a bailiff, and a court reporter.
May I make a suggestion?
Uh-huh.
I think they should take the two of them, place them in an arena, and make them fight to death over the collection.
What about...
Thank God they don't have kids.
What about the beanie baby they get picked last? What about that beanie baby's feelings?
That's coming out.
What the hell?
You see, the reason I'd
like... Have you ever been picked last? And I am at gym class?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Everybody.
Fuck!
Actually, I haven't.
Oh,
I didn't get class by friends, but not by the gym class.
Somebody else has made their way to the IFC.
Yes! Wow.
That's pretty good.
Who's Kathy?
He's been here before.
Yeah,
he must have figured out the mess. Did you hear this one? Texas schoolboy was arrested for a scary story.
No, oh, yes.
That right here.
Yes.
That one drove me to the point of considering the state of Texas to be removed from the plane of Earth.
So here's that story. Texas schoolboy freed after scary Halloween essay lands him in jail. A 13-year-old boy has been freed after spending 5 days in custody because the Halloween horror story he wrote as a school assignment described shooting a teacher and two classmates. I was supposed to write a horror story. I don't think I did anything wrong. His English teacher, Amanda Henry, thought he did such a good job, she gave him an A, plus extra credit for reading aloud in class. Yet later, she went to the principal and turned him in for it.
This woman needs a lot of fucking help. and the principal needs a lot of help, and the whole zero tolerance.
Okay, wait. Well, okay, don't you have to commit a crime to go to jail?
No, not anymore. Basically, this
it's
is...
thought crime
it
now.
It was basically filed under the concept of being uttering threats towards people by using actual people from his school, because the kid wasn't imaginative enough to come up with new names and new people by placing himself and his classmates in the horror story. He uttered threats by being responsible. And by the way, I've heard about the story. He wasn't trying to shoot his teacher and two classmates. It was done as an accident by supposedly over-responding to the fear of the situation in the short story. Mm-hmm. They accidentally shot his teacher and two of the people, and the irony of the situation was realizing they had over-responded and accidentally shot his teacher and two of his classmates. That was the story. For a 13-year-old kid, not a bad piece of work.
Yeah.
For his teachers and the cops to bust a kid and put him in juvenile detention for 5 fucking days.
5 days.
For this.
And presumably would have been longer if the folks at CNN and such had logged on to
the No, really.
He was asked to write a scary story. He did. He scared the shit out of people across the bloody country.
This actually is probably a good thing that happened. I mean, it's bad for this kid, but down in the States, I've read a lot about stuff like this happening.
So you
and
you
I think that it's important that the parents
get a pepper.
Sue. Huh? The school board, the school, the police, everybody, blind. They need to lose a lot of money so that they'll think twice about doing this to another.
No, are you right? It is
justified.
Given the fact of how litigation insane the United States is, no horde of ambulance chasers have been running down these parents to try to basically offer their services to take these people to hell and high water. No, instead, what the parents are planning on doing is they're removing their kid and start taking them to either private school or home teaching in order to just basically forget about the whole situation. I'm sorry, I think somebody needs to lose their job over this on Boys and Girls.
But what's going to happen to the 13-year-old kid in the meantime?
Yes, no, he's got to basically...
he's got to get an education somewhere.
Yeah, and the kid's basically, not to mention what a wonderful additive this does to his whole social growth.
I think everyone involved should lose their job. The judge, all the people involved in the court case or whatever it is. Everyone who touched it.
Everyone who
knew about it had the power to stop it and didn't. Should be going to jail yourself.
There is no judge involved in this case. There is no judge involved in this.
You can send someone to jail without even a judge.
Because he had already violated an existing zero-tolerance order. He was placed in juvenile by social...
Oh, I've heard about like these zero tolerance laws now in the States. It's like when you can go to kids can go to jail for dealing drugs if they give their friend an acid.
But don't they at least have to prove that he did in court?
No, the kid didn't even have to go through that. Boys and girls, our listeners, remember 200 and some odd years ago, we fought a revolution against tyranny. Please, many of you have guns. Start again. We'll follow you here up in the north. Please, start it.
You can have a zero tolerance all you want, but don't you have to prove that the act they committed against the zero tolerance?
No, because he wasn't arrested and placed in jail by an officer of the court. He was placed in by a social worker.
Welcome to the era of thought crime, where an accusation stands as proof.
He's right. It is
so
insane.
How about the thought that maybe this kid might get enraged now and have to kill a social worker, not because he's crazy, but because he's totally sane and knows that this is the right thing to do.
Because, well, then you see, he would be right. And, I'd like to actually think that maybe God would like help us out with, like, a meteorite someday.
On to the next story. This is Justice. Spammers killed execution style.
That's you, James. Bloody hell.
Yeah, they were involved in other dealings, but they were big-time spammers, and they got killed.
How did they get killed?
Execution style. Bullet to the head.
Goes to show what goes around.
Comes around. That's right.
Yeah, one in a billion, is it? Or one in, like, say, 100,000? It comes around?
Yeah.
Why don't work for me?
Let's keep our
perspective. ISP Tech Hell?
ISP Tech Hell. Let's see what this is. A little bit old, so I forgot about it. We'll post this. Sorry for that last link. That did not work.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The following brief was sent in by
Andrew.
I was on the phone with a very blonde blonde customer. She was a computer newbie and dumb as a stick when it came to mundane things. Never mind something as high-tech as a computer. She called a report that her computer stopped moving. Okay, what do you see? I asked. Just the clouds, she replied. Okay, could you shut off the computer and turn it back on again? Sure, she said. I hear a click, then another click. As she turns it back on, I waited, not saying anything, for several moments. Finally, I said, what do you see now? The same thing, she says. What? It froze immediately after boot up? That was not good. Okay, turn it off and turn it back on again. I hear two clicks. I immediately ask her what she sees. The same thing, she says. She says, then she asks me, should I turn off the hard drive, too? She's turning off her monitor.
I have a story from another Andrew. Andrew, our buddy,
yeah.
He works for the Realtor Board, dealing with people who are using the computers.
Oh, Realtors.
He gets this call.
High on the level.
No lie on this one. This person calls up, says their computer is not working. They have no idea. They just bought it. It stopped working after about a half an hour.
Yeah.
So he asks them, you know, turn it off, turn it on. Have you got all the plugs in? They check it. Yes. They're going through all the problems that possibly be. I mean, just not getting anything, not even an image. Well, it turns out that he was undergoing a blackout.
Oh!
And he didn't know why his computer wasn't working. I'm not making this up.
That's, you know what? That's just as bad as what I thought. What I thought was that, oh, his power management had kicked in and the computer turned off and you couldn't figure out why.
Screen saver.
At the bottom, I think there's a little bit of the PlayStation.
Well, apparently, Sega Dreamcast had a monitor open. Did she have that to
follow?
Oh, yeah, that's
all of it.
Oh,
there it is. That's the one.
This is the one. It says, the title is Throwing Down the Gauntlet, My Best Experience as a Nerd in Hell. I used to work for a major ISP as a telephone tech support rep. For those of you who have done this in the past, you know that this leads to almost endless grief and great stories. Wait, here's one now. This didn't happen to me, but I was sitting in the cube next to a guy who got this call. By the end, everybody in the room was standing around listening. A very angry guy called one time. He was choked that the CD-ROM, which contained our ISP software, Netscape and Win95 dial-up network connection, would not install in his system. He was clearly a very inexperienced user. After nearly 15 minutes of questions, the tech finally discovered the problem. The guy was trying to load the CD in his Sony PlayStation. Not only that, he figured that the minimum requirements on the box, Win95, 8 megabytes of RAM and a CD-ROM, did not specifically indicate that a PlayStation did not meet these requirements. He went on for 30 minutes about how this was a breach of the contract he signed when he purchased the service package with the ISP. Finally, got to the point where the tech had to dish the guy off the sales desk for a refund. I heard later that the guy raised such hell with the sales department that they refunded his money and agreed to add a warning to the software box indicating that an actual PC was one of the minimum requirements. Still want to know why I quit that job?
No.
Easy solution. Get your PlayStation box. Does it say it includes Win95 or 8 megabytes of RAM? No? Well, you can't run our software. Very simple.
Yeah.
Does it say on the package?
I have an even easier solution. Sorry. Oh, I do it all the time. Click. And they call us back. Click.
We
don't want to talk to you. Click. It's not time to call in. It's not the time of our show to call in. Click. Say what the hell and I'll hang up on you. Click. It works very well.
The Dreamcast is based on Windows CE, so there's going to be some more interesting calls with that, especially since it has a built-in modem.
That's right. It has a modem, it has RAM, it has Windows.
The sort of next generation of gaming machines, those kinds of calls will just get more insane.
That's right.
It has Windows on it.
I think PlayStation should come with a barrel and a round, and it can be remotely discharged.
Just the reset button.
Use the reset button.
In a specific, like, specific like text that somebody like embedded into the framework of the machine that you have to be at a certain, your head has to be in a certain position in order to read it, so that it'll be perfectly lined up.
Right at the center of the CD.
Oh. Yes.
And then when they try and bring it back, no, the reason it's not working is you've got blood.
They said PS2 runs on Linux. PS2 has cable modem.
No, actually, the PlayStation 2 is like the Dreamcast. Apparently, it can boot up its own operating system. And the PS2, I've heard rumors that they're going to have a cable modem attachment available, like an Ethernet port. But
it's not the net port, okay.
We'll see.
Basically, the game console market is trying to beat the PC game market by making them more like PCs. Can't beat them, join them.
That's right.
Meanwhile, all the PC makers, all these little PC companies are trying to make emulators.
That's right.
Okay, but you know what? That's like really stupid. Okay, the thing that makes computers weak is that they have to run on like an operating system and they don't have something nice like cards.
Yeah, that just always
that
work.
Just work. And
we know your hardware.
They're taking their machine that its strength is that it doesn't have an operating system. That is its only strength. And taking that away, but still doesn't have all the strength of the computer, which is everything else.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That's just stupid. The only thing they have is it is probably cheaper.
Actually, the strength of the console isn't the fact that it doesn't have an operating system, because all of them do. Even the shitty old ones still have some built-in calls.
But
it's not that it's unified hardware. They're all the exact same starting size, so you don't have driver conflicts.
Yeah,
and all
they
that.
Might have.
It always
they,
works.
Okay,
always
they have
works.
An operating system.
Yes.
But it's not like soft like on here. It's not on a disk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not booted up every time. It's
that's
it's,
true.
It's on a card, right?
It's firmware.
That's what we're saying, right? It's all on a card.
It doesn't
work
every
time.
Yep.
Well, one thing I don't like about console games is if you get a game as buggy as hell, it crashes, it's fucked.
Yeah.
You can't update it.
That's right. Like, that's it. That's all you get.
I know.
Crashing's really massive.
I think I've
gone through
a recall.
Unless there's like a massive,
recall. It's really bad.
It always works or
it
always doesn't. I've had this conversation before. Nothing infuriates me more than the concept of them being allowed to sell a product that doesn't work, that requires you to go to their webpage to get an update. So you can make the system work.
I'd
like to find the first company that did that and the first 10 million people who accepted. And by the way, if that would include everyone in this room, I'd say I'd hate
you.
Shoot them in the face.
You know what the problem is? Desmond, you know what the problem is?
What?
If they didn't do that, we'd be way back there in time.
That's
now.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
The program that we had now would be way back.
This is my character.
That's why we have
we got
VCR still instead of digital video recorders because they wait 10 years till they're not buggy anymore.
We basically
wait 10 years for something that actually works.
We still be in.
Yeah, but you know what? My computer, as much as it fucks up, it doesn't fuck up that much that I'm not willing. And yeah, you're right. I am willing to accept it to have a computer that's way faster than what I would have if it had to be perfect before they sold it.
No, I don't think things have to be perfect, but I think that
functional.
Yeah, you know what? They are functional.
It's a catch-22. The consumers don't care.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I understand
and
that.
Then
the company, I know that. That's why
right.
I'm saying
so.
I like to take the company who first did this
right.
And the first group of people, of customers, who accepted it, and kill them.
Yeah.
You're also talking about problems that don't come up until they send it out, because then they have that many people testing it.
Yeah.
They don't. It has to be tested
that's
out
how it works
before,
nowadays.
They don't, before they find those problems, because they just don't have them.
They don't test it in-house nowadays. They let the people test it.
At least they don't charge it for them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of nice, right?
There's been a couple companies that tried that. No.
Try to charge you for updates for a broken piece of software.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's bad. That's when you get shot in
the head.
That's the point where you're handing me the gun?
Oh, yeah, they got it.
I would hand you the gun right away. I would just counsel you not to use it.
Well, actually, a lot of non-game related software companies, I think, still do charge you for updates. Like,
some big company software like.
I think SEO, your next.
Okay, but it depends on what the update is. If it's an update, like an upgrade, but if it's just making something work.
Yeah, they charge you for Y2K. Almost all
society,
almost all software.
Does I don't want Y2K to collapse.
It's sort of like a
force
that you have to pay for. It's complete crap.
Wait a minute. Yeah, it's their lack of foresight, but. I totally disagree. That's wrong. They made a mistake, but that's not the same thing as not making the program work.
Well
it's kind of the same thing. Basically. Well, okay, look at all the computers that are still used in the banks. Well, fuck you! You should have thought of that 40 years ago when you made the program. We're still using our banks and shit.
Well, that's almost the same thing as basically if Boeing happened to make an airplane that when he basically went into a dive that the engines decided to go into reverse. You know, it's... you know, it works most of the time. Just
There's a line in time where I would say, okay, yeah, after a certain point, after it became obvious that, yeah, this needed to be done, they still started making programs and equipment that wasn't Y2K, and then I think that they're wrong and that they should have to make it Y2K compliant, right? Because we've known for years and they still pumped out like motherboards and computers that weren't Y2K, and that's wrong.
They hedged their bets that they wouldn't be around. Whoever was president of the company, whoever was in charge of,
and they had their right in most cases.
Would have opened by that time, and they would have gotten their monkey asses off to the next thing.
That's right.
Find them and kill them.
They're right.
Find them and kill them.
I mean, most people won't even have those computers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably because they're going to buy new computers so they can write it off.
So I did another Sean Kay little rant here. This one is called Hooked on Crack. I think it was inspired by Drex. Because you were ranting about it before.
Yeah. How can people get hooked on crack?
It's pretty good.
How do you miss the fact that crack?
Hi, you're on the radio. Who is this? Okay, what do you have to say? Yes. Okay, get away.
You know, you got 20 minutes to wait.
Oh, no, that's it. I don't know what you're getting crazy. You can tell us later about your plot hole.
He was doing Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, okay. Somewhat relevant. But he can do that later. That's not very...
You gotta wait until 10:30. That's when you start accepting calls.
I'm all hot and bothered.
Can he see you in the webcam?
I don't know.
Is the webcam working?
So how does it feel to be stuck?
Oh, yeah, he can. The webcam is working.
It's okay. That voice made this all worthwhile.
300 billion pictures of hot and sexy chicks on the net.
Hey.
And this guy has to single me out.
It'd be great if the inspector was going after him for a while. Somebody can do a muscle possible, okay? I mean, just leave me out of this work.
So this one is called Hooked on Crack, and we're going to listen to this.
All right.
Awesome, right? Yeah.
What the fuck? Those who ask for it, your pal and mine, John Kennedy on Lance Radio.
Okay, I'm a little fuzzy on a couple of issues here. Maybe somebody can help me out on this. I'm a little curious as to how somebody exactly gets hooked on crack. Like, how does that work, you know? Like, do you you're smoking up at some party sometime, or somebody, you know, slips a fucking glass pipe in your hands instead of a doobie? Or is it, you know, you're going to the bathroom sometime and work on the graffiti on the wall of some drug and use fuckface snare there with your own fecal matter, and you think, hey, he said crack is fun, maybe I should try that. Those of you become, you know, hooked on crack, okay? There is absolutely no excuse for being hooked on crack. If you don't want to be hooked on crack, don't do crack. It's not like there's less degrees of crack. There's crack and crack. Okay, you can't go become hooked on crack. Like, what the fuck? You doing crack for the first time, you have to realize that it's an addictive drug and you're going to become hooked on it. It's just the way it is. I mean, how dumb do you have to be? I don't really grasp people. So people whether, especially when they're like middle class people, look like that. I mean, if there's a bunch of street fucking people, and they're all looked on crack because, you know, their lives are shit, and they're just going to fucking die anyway, okay, then, you know, that's kind of a governmental problem, too, because, you know, no one's looking after anybody, and, you know, a lot of people don't have a chance to start with. So I can understand that. But, you know, but middle class Americans say they look on crack. What? There is no reason why any county should get fucking hooked on crack. Let me tell you, there is no fucking reason for it. If there's a guy who walks up to me and his mid-40s and asks the manager, I've got a crack problem, it's like, right up to the brain stem, it's a fucking head to draw. That's just how it works. I have no time for you. If you're gonna go, get hooked on crack, do it some fucking place else. Do it when you're a totally weak piece of shit. Do it and then kill yourself. A lot of dealers are doing you break into my car, steal my shit, get it out of here, okay? So give me a fucking break. My name is Sean Kelly, and I am a fucking man.
That's good. Not bad.
If you would like to email death threats or send mail bombs to anyone you're listening to tonight, then what the hell? Email us at info@ranchradio.com or send explosive charges to Box 256 or BX1J0 or Mothafia ICQ number 51558. That's a visual greatly appreciated.
Now back to the What the Hell Show with M&M and Dr. Pepper 2. M&M's are good.
There's no M&M's tonight, but there is Dr.
Pepper. We also have carbon cookies.
Okay, on that crack thing,
yeah.
There are crack houses in Langley.
I remember they were on 56 or something. Right across from.
I don't know where they are.
Weren't they like across from the A&W?
Yeah, across from the A&W, those running down houses.
Oh, yeah, those two really crispy, really disgusting houses.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, I lived across the corner from like the biggest pot bust in British Columbia history. It was like, I was, you know, getting up Saturday morning once, and there was like helicopters overhead circling, and it's just like, what the fuck did we do now? Josh!
Uh-oh. Derek?
Okay, but the idea is that if there's crack houses in Langley, that means there are people smoking crack in Langley.
Yeah,
we already went over this.
But Langley crack's good. They come from Bangkok.
it's not addictive, and it doesn't fuck up your brain.
The thing, like Langley, land of churches.
I have trouble remembering. When I came here for the first time back in 1982, I came from Brooklyn, New York, okay? My neighborhood was like, I had two choices. I could go one way and go with Spanish, or I could go the other way and go with Sicilians. I lived four blocks from one of the mob bosses from Brooklyn got hit. So this was my growing up neighborhood. I came out here, I lost my mind. I now look around and I cannot believe that this place is the largest drug processing, facilitating, growing operation.
But we're nice about it.
In on the West Coast.
Thanks to our warm voice.
There's like LA down there, and we beat them? What the fuck? You know, exports, right? Industry.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, I'd love to see if somebody could actually compile some honest, straight, like, truthful statistics. I mean, comparing pot to, say, the timber industry, or the mining industry,
Gator with like a pie chart or something.
Yeah, or you know, like what percentage of the sort of gross national product of coming from BC comes from pot sales? I bet that it's fairly competitive with all these industries that are coddled by government.
It's red.
What is our number one degree?
It is. No, making a joke. It is now the largest. By money, we're talking about by value. It is the largest cash crop in the province.
Boggles my mind that the government doesn't get in on it.
Legalize it.
And legalize it and tax it, and you're out of debt.
And did you hear about that group recently? I think they were.
And you know, if we did that, maybe we could be able to weasel our way out of NAFTA. The Americans would be like, you're going to do that? Fuck you, we're out of NAFTA. They're like,
You know what? They don't even have to make it legal to smoke pot in BC. They just have to make it legal to grow it and process it and sell it to other places. They can grow it and process it and
across the border be a little bit harder.
And then it could also be like an industry of growing, you know, the hemp, you know, and so you can sell all the, like, ugly-ass hemp clothing to
hippie
shops.
Everyone talks about how ugly hemp clothing is, but...
It's not the hemp itself. It's the fact that they're marketing it towards hippies.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is that seen how long that shit lasts?
Wow, that's what I want. A really, really, really ugly jacket or coat or pants that won't go away.
So you can will it to your children.
And cause them to run around with really, really, really ugly clothing.
The other thing is it's better for paper. Like for newspaper, for newsprint,
it is
a superior form of paper.
What exactly was that U.S. Constitution written on again?
Yes, for those of you who don't remember these things, we will.
not the actual one, but one of the drafts.
No, the one of the drafts was actually written on hemp. The one that's seen, the one that's commonly thought of, is made from vellum, which is the inside of a lamb's stomach, the actual soft tissue, which has been basically tanned into a very nice form of.
The thing about hemp is whether it's better paper or not doesn't matter. It is, but even if it's just on par, it's renewable.
Yes, it grows faster, it's cheaper.
It's, you can make more paper from it, and you don't have to cut down trees.
That's right. I got a chance to try.
You can get lumberjacks growing hemp.
I got a chance to try hemp.
And eat spider dolls.
Eat what?
Hemp, no, not eat. I got a chance to try hemp toilet paper.
Okay. How was it, Dad?
It was soft.
Was it soft? It didn't shape your buttocks?
No, it didn't.
It didn't put a ring around your anus?
Speaking of that, it's time to eat those things.
Great segue, Sil.
That's great. I can just eat from one to another.
All right.
Unlike Casey Kasem.
He can't do that.
He can't go with it. Okay. He can't go with the... dead dog.
Stay away from an up tempo tune to a dead dog decade.
I heard that.
I've heard it a bunch of times. It's just too funny.
Okay, what this thing, what these things are, is they're haw flakes made from genuine haw, haw ingredients, haw sugar. Product of China.
Is there any explanation of what haw is?
No, there's not. All there is this cartoon on the front, which I've already explained, which looks like a bizarre sort of Alvin and the Chipmunks looking character having conjugal relations with cherry.
We've got a definition of haw. It's from a hawthorn berry.
Okay, I thought it was related to hawthorn.
There we go.
And on the front it says Jing Ji Shan Zha.
So we have a circle point.
They'll look like communion wafers, except they're pinkish in color.
No, there's a chance my girlfriend might actually know what that is.
Okay.
What?
Phenomenal. Anyways.
Possible.
All right, so just...
I got a feeling she'd like freeze, like...
Don't tell her she's on the radio. With 1.2 potential million listeners.
Hey, wow, it's like hockey card gun.
Yes, it is.
There you go. There's yours, James.
Another one?
I'm not having
no hawthorn berry.
It's hockey card gum.
I'm allergic to haw.
Smells like
allergic
to haw.
It does.
So, everybody, put it in your mouth and give us a reaction.
It reminds me of cranberry.
No.
It's
like fruit leather to me.
Yeah,
stale cherry fruit leather.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Or have a consistent
stale fruit leather?
Yeah.
Well, let's see this.
Just old fruit leather.
The whole package, 50 cents. Wow.
It has a kind of consistency of a really stale Eucharist.
What's a
stale
Eucharist?
Eucharist.
A stale
Eucharist is basically communion wafers.
Yeah.
Mm.
I
love it. Right. Or I could not.
I could just not.
Unleavened bread.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Chalky.
So let's get our lesson of the week from Department of Justice. Do's and don'ts for kids.
Oh, God, no, please stop this!
It's funny. It's so hilarious. We have things to learn from the Department of Justice.
I feel like they're idiots.
they know about the Internet, and they're willing to teach us.
We're kids'
drugs.
There's lots to learn here.
Did you know that Al Gore invented the Internet?
He did.
There's an extensive article in Wired this month, this coming month. The one with the, the Wired magazine with the naked chick on the cover.
Okay.
That's what it's got, an extensive article with Al Gore. He's basically trying to explain that he, what he meant by that I invented the internet argument.
How can you get out of I invented the internet? How can you explain your way out
of it? He actually manages to weasel his way out of it.
Who's the name of the actual?
I don't understand. What are we talking about?
Al Gore said it up.
The vice president of the United States misspoke himself, basically. Not in those exact words, but...
said on Larry King Live that he invented the internet.
More or less, to the effect that he had invented the internet.
Why did he say that? What was his explanation for how
it had to do with? He wasn't saying that he invented it per se, but with the fact that he was the only person promoting it, and he was the kind of person with whom the idea was being disseminated in the corridors of power, that the internet could be something for the citizenry, for the masses.
For the masses.
He invented the concept of the internet for everybody.
Oh.
That was how.
So that common people. That's my favorite.
Well,
that's my favorite.
Is when
you get politicians using the word common as though.
That's my poor choice of words, not Al Gore's.
But politicians like to do that. You know, so that the common person can la 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 la.
He's just, as usual, one of the political people who's a victim of a foot and mouth disease.
Everybody's victim to that.
Well, let's face it, if I was on Larry King Live, I'd probably say some pretty damn stupid things, too.
I wouldn't.
Also,
everything I would say would be brilliant.
Also known as the Gap-O-Matic candidate.
The only thing I would say if I ever managed to get on Larry King Live was bring me the head of John Bonham.
That's all you needed to say.
The thing is, though, you've got Al Gore, but, like, what are the alternatives? Like, oh, the Republican! Oh,
actually,
yeah.
If there's a Republican candidate I would almost vote for.
Keyword, almost.
Okay, but you know what? I don't even care. And it's not that it doesn't have any effect on me.
You should.
Because it's not like it doesn't have any effect on me. Sure, it does, because, you know, whatever. There would definitely be some effects. However, I'm a Canadian, I don't even vote, so I don't care. I'm not going to have any effect on it, whether it has an effect on me or not.
You don't think that having basically Reagan and Bush in the office for 12 years didn't affect you as a Canadian?
I said it did. I said it will have an effect, but my point is that I have no effect on it. I do not get a vote,
do you have any
so it doesn't matter whether I know.
Like, we over at the Peak, one of our editors is actually an American citizen, actually can vote in American elections. And, you know, it's kind of interesting the thought that, you know, if he actually casts a ballot, he wields the equivalent of how many Americans? So I just wonder about the calculation, and considering how many Americans don't vote, if you actually cast a ballot, you're basically wielding the political power of how many Americans?
Well, remember, the President of the United States is elected by about 20% of the electorate. Because about 40% actually vote in the election, and it's usually a fairly close split.
The last election we had up here in Canada, basically about, what was it, a week to the election?
Mm-hmm.
So the NDP made the wonderful mistake of calling me up to ask for a polling. Oh boy.
What did you say to that?
Yeah, but you know what? If you really want to be on that poll, you have to just be against them, not psychotically against them. Because they take all the... theoretically, they take the... the top percentage and the bottom percentage.
Well,
and
I spent a half an hour talking with this guy, and when I was done, he said that I was probably, he'd enjoyed talking to me more than anyone else. He had not laughed that much.
Was he not an NDP supporter?
No, they're not going to, like, they're talking about the federal election?
Yeah.
They know they're not going to win. You know, they might as well just sit there and gab with somebody on the
phone. So who actually is basically in charge of it? Who's the emperor's new clothes? And then what is it, Duchamp or something like that? Who's currently in charge? Or is there anybody in charge?
The NDP?
Yeah, who cares?
the only name that anybody can really remember is Ben Robinson.
Yeah. Exactly. Can you kick Lieutenant Majors and I'll be off? Because he's interrupting with us, seeing any messages from, is it Infolute?
Yes, Interloop and Caffeine High.
Yeah, those guys, if they wanted to send us a message, we'd never see it because Lieutenant Major Zombie.
Doing one word per line. Lieutenant Major Zombie, that's bad.
Get a grip.
That's very, very
you're a bad boy.
Bad.
I know
we bad.
I know the rule is we give you 3 strikes, but you've got about, what, 20? 20 of them there?
20 divided by 3.
Sorry. Yeah, you are not sorry. We don't believe you.
I know you do.
Then what are you doing? I know it's bad, but I can't help myself.
I'm a bad boy.
Anyways, let's.
I'm sorry, that's a major zombie, but if you do that again, we'll have to take you out and have you shot.
He's getting the attention he wants.
And not deserves. Yeah, he just. This is actually the last Department of Justice.
Yeah, number 5.
I got a copy of a really funny computer joke from my friend. It asks you if you want to internet access for free. When you say yes, it changes some files in your computer so that each time you log on, your computer says, "Way to go, Dodo. I think I'll send it to my friends as a joke."
Let's see what they say about that. Oh,
it's a thermal nuclear meltdown.
What should we do?
The melting computer.
Send it, virus,
what
send
did
it
you
to
do?
Only
click on one of the following choices. A, send it only to people you know really well who will know it's a joke. B, use your friend's account to send it so no one will know that you sent it. C, tell my friend not to send it to anyone. It could be a, quote, computer virus.
B, finger everybody.
That's great. Use your friend's account. You send the computer joke to all of your friends. Unfortunately, it's not a joke at all. It destroys the computer's hard drive.
Hard drive in quotes?
Wow, hard drive. With a comma in the quotes, too. Which has copies of the operating system, Vinny? Copies of the operating system. And all personal files. It is very expensive and time-consuming to restore a hard drive. Everyone is really mad at your friend. Until they find out it's that you that sent the virus.
How? I'm not telling.
How did they know it? Oh, your friend's account. Okay. Yeah, you're not telling, eh?
Exactly. No, I got the virus too. That bastard, let's go string him up.
And your friend is mad at you for using his account. Sending a computer virus through the internet is no joke. It's a crime.
It is a crime. Serious trouble, and you might have to pay for the damage that you caused. Yeah, a 6-year-old child is going to like pay for the repair.
Go after their parents. Think about it.
I saw something in an ad this week. I could not believe it was for a barbecue
with a mic. Whoever it was, just stop.
It was for a Barbie or Hot Wheels computer.
Oh God, those have been up for like a month now. They're advertising them. It's
one for him, one for
her. That's a phenomenon that just drives me batty because the computers themselves are the same, but they come with different software packages. Now the Barbie one comes, of course, with an assortment of educational stuff from all the Barbie titles.
But no math software.
Well,
it's too hard.
Just a calculator.
The boys comes with Hot Wheels software and a bunch of educational software. But there's an awful lot of Barbie software, so I guess they just had to knock a few of the educational titles off the roster, including a math package and a logic package. Ooh, oh well, you had to make room for Barbie nail designer.
Well, that's important.
The two computers come with, they come with different things. Like, you look at the two web pages, the Hot Wheels is a powerful.
I was only kidding about the math.
Family, and the Barbie computer is fun for your little girl. It's just bizarre because they have the Barbie computer comes with a little Barbie cam, like the little cheapy digital
camera. That's right.
They've come out with a boys' version now.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's fair.
What about the steering wheel? Did the girls get a steering wheel?
No, there's no little pink steering wheel yet. Little girls don't play games. Interactive play experience like Barbie Fashion Designer and Spice World.
Emotional learning tool.
Although, I was just in the store. Like I'm doing research on this for a paper I'm doing for school.
Yeah.
And I'm in the store, And they got, like, there's the girl, like, it's Toys R Us. They got, like, the boys' software and the girls' software, and they've got sort of general-purpose educational software. Yeah. And so, all of them, they got, like, the girls' software section is basically the Barbie section, right? It's this wall of, you know, retina searing pink. And the next one is the section of all, you know, the sort of, like, red and green and purple boys' software. And the girls' section, like, I see this little girl go up with her dad, you know, this cute, sweet little girl, and her dad, who's like this.
The old research you're doing here.
You know, and this guy who looks like a plumber, I don't know. This is a typical plumber-looking guy. And the little girl goes right to the Barbie software, grabs the Barbie camera, brings over, and starts, like, shoves it, like, right, like, attempts to shove it up her dad's right nostril. Her dad will not even turn his head. No, 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 dear, that's too expensive. Instead, he grabs the Nick cam, which is basically the exact same camera, except purple, and with package, on the package, it has boys on it.
Oh, wow.
Same price. He does, but there isn't even a price listed on the thing, but he grabs that one.
Yeah.
And that's the one he's going to get for his little girl. And little girl's sort of looking up, you know, he just sort of orders her to put the girl one, the pink one back. I guess, you know, the pink one threatens his masculinity. The little girl's sort of looking at it, you know, sort of, she can just see the wheel turning, thinking, no, if I say I don't want to get that one, I'm not going to get a damn camera at all.
That's right.
I like that one better anyways. Yeah. Headed straight for the till. The guy didn't even know what the price was on. That was the fact, because he wouldn't look at the girls. He wouldn't look at the girls' version. But he, and the boys' one didn't have the price tag list, so he didn't even care what the price was. He just didn't want to touch the tape. Oh, welcome to Langland.
Jim Schitt sent this in last week. A gross hospital story. A girl came into the hospital complaining that a bug had crawled into her ear while she was asleep. To make a long story short, a roach crawled into her ear and died. Imagine a fucking roach crawling into your ear. Fucking gross.
Actually, those are common, aren't
they? Yeah, like, it's very, very common.
Why would a roach go into your ear?
Because the roaches go into the warm place, and not only that.
Warm, moist.
It's warm, moist, and also you're thinking of large, basically brown cockroaches.
Yeah.
What are called German cockroaches. Actually, no, that's not German cockroaches. I can't remember the name of that species.
Yeah.
The more common one that I saw a lot more in New York. Is basically about maybe a half an inch long and maybe only about a quarter of an inch wide at the thickest for the largest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what probably crawled into her ear.
And they commonly die in your ear?
No, well, basically, they go into your ear, and you basically, of course, freak out and shove your finger in there.
Right.
Not only crushing the animal, but shoving it deeper into your ear canal. Not only that, you have wax in your ear, which acts like a nice glue, along with the roach's innards. And the real problem from all of that is, besides having a dead insect now in your ear, is the fact
that... That's not the real problem, is it?
No, it isn't. The inside of the digestive tract of a cockroach is the most foul, disgusting, germ-laden place on the face of the earth, minus a human being's mouth.
And guaranteed infection. Then.
Guaranteed inner ear infection.
Well, you know, I remember reading like a medical report describing how they found that some specific chemical compound. They could just take like a swab dipped in this fairly common compound which is used for treating some other skin condition or something. Mm-hmm. If they bring it up close to the ear, the cockroach will like jump out of the ear. Like I remember hearing like the first time they tried this was on a woman who actually somehow managed to get a cockroach in either ear. And they did this as a scientific test. They tried one method, one ear, they did with the sort of squirting water into it, which is the syringe full of water, sort of flushed out the cockroach. The other side they did with, they just brought this swab up. Before they even got it anywhere near the ear, the cockroach bolted out of the ear, and a nurse dispatched it with her shoe and ran across the floor.
Okay, this stuff is nasty, or
cockroaches
must be really, really, really stupid then. Okay. There's really, really smelly bad thing over here. I'm going to run at it.
No, basically the scent is going in there, so the animal panics, and a cockroach's nervous system works so that when it panics, the legs automatically start running. You ever wonder why a cockroach is so hard to step on? It's because the minute you turn the light on, it's not the brain saying, I have to get the fuck out of here. Its nervous system is hardwired, so when it panics, it immediately starts running.
I'm like, wow, I'm moving!
So it's like you're in a car and the gas pedal's stuck. You're just steering.
Yeah, exactly.
Hurry up, wait, why?
I fortunately have not seen a cockroach since I left New York, and I hope to keep it that way. Though
I would move as soon as I see.
I know.
After hearing that story, I would move.
There are
apparently cockroaches in my apartment.
There are apparently cockroaches.
Maybe you really should. If you're really concerned about cockroaches, maybe you should really like clean this carpet for like the first time since you moved in, because there's
it's
probably
filthy right now. I do vacuum it. Like, I just did vacuum it this week.
You probably
usually after the show.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's still chinchilla crap buried underneath the layers.
Guaranteed, there's chinchilla crap inside that couch. They got inside the couch, as did the dogs. somebody took the couch out and shook it. There'd be lots of stuff coming.
I'm talking about small animals.
We don't really need to know this.
And you know what I found?
No! No, I don't want to know.
And a half. I found these.
What are they?
Chew bones.
They attach in that chair.
Hard rubber chew bones?
Yeah, a chihuahua. Chihuahua size.
Actually... Yeah, so it's a smooth, regular, and that's like
the king gone by a chihuahua.
I fired the rawhide one,
like,
this big, and they're gone
and
in like a week and a half.
I don't mention those things.
It's like a chipper. They have this special one.
You got
one.
A chihuahua?
Yeah.
Ah,
they're
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's like a Taco Bell package chihuahua?
She's black and tan and cute. I do not like chihuahuas.
It's the friendliest dog, one of the friendliest dogs I've ever met was a chihuahua. A little white albino chihuahua. You wouldn't think the chihuahuas would be, like, friendly and mellow, but this one was.
Well, it's friendly and mellow.
Oh, yeah.
It was tall. When it first sees you, it'll
freak it.
It'll go like, no, it goes, who's this, and goes for you.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's mellow for a chihuahua, but it's not actually mellow.
It's mellow.
No, it's not mellow.
Do you know
if your dog freaks out and goes crazy, it's
all
not
dogs,
mellow.
All
do you know
dogs,
where
that
all
like
dogs don't run that.
No, that's not true.
Do you know where chihuahuas came from?
Chihuahua, Mexico?
No. Basically, after World War II, a Nazi scientist experimenting down in South America, crossbreeding rat with a piranha fish, and came up with the chihuahua.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay, I ran across on the internet. It's called Groan of the Day. Oh, wow, really? Make you groan. A rich bloke decided to have himself cloned. After a long and expensive development process, a clone was created and specifically matured. Especially matured. Unsurprisingly, it turned out to be an exact physical duplicate of the man. Mentally, however, something went wrong. And all the clone could do was spew forth the most vile language and filthy profanities. After a couple of weeks of putting up with this torrent and trying to find out if the clone could respond or somehow heal the repair, the boat tribe decided to cut his losses. He took the clone up into the mountains, went to the edge of a steep cliff, and pushed the clone over the edge. A policeman popped out from behind a tree and said, "I'm afraid you're under arrest, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to come with me." The bloke sighed, "Look, officer, it isn't what it looks like. I didn't murder anyone. That wasn't a real person." The officer shook his head. "I didn't say anything about murder, sir. I'm arresting you for making an obscene clone call."
I refuse to want a groan. I refuse to give up a groan for that.
Obscene clone fall. That's for those who missed.
Bang your head against the wall material. Totally.
Why waste effort thinking about it and blanking it from my mind?
Speechless.
I told you earlier my brain was hurting.
You're not helping.
Isn't that bad?
This is from Greg, so he can read this one.
That way terms are.
No, it's not. I don't send you anything. Every
you
week.
Sent to this in email. I have it in email. I have proof in my computer.
Oh, yes. Okay, I remember this one. But every week he goes, "I think this was something you sent me, right?" And I'm like, "No, it isn't."
I just put it as a default if I can't remember the name.
Okay, this is from an article from the LA Times. Actually, the funny thing is that Corey told me about this a long time ago, and someone sent
probably some urban.
Oh, is this net. The? Is this?
No, it's not an urban net.
Oh,
okay.
And this actually, as a side note, this is a cartoon of the Sick and Twisted.
Yes.
I haven't seen Sick and Twisted yet.
Is this the story of the gerbil cannon?
Or we could just have Dak tell what happens in it right off the bat, because he's got to let us all know that he knows what's going on.
We'll work backwards with the story.
Yeah, we'll just start with the end of it. And
I just asked if this was...
Yeah, but you know what? You could have not asked what it was. Like, is this the movie where
everyone dies in the end, and the heroes all get their balls cut off.
Can I tell you something? If it is, and apparently it is, I don't feel bad for ruining it, because this is disgusting, cruel, sick.
Oh, disgusting, cruel, sick from Gross Hospital Story Man. Coming from the man that tells us about a guy cutting through his testicles with a pair of scissors. And I'm supposed to be feeling sorry for you know, making you think of something nasty.
Because that was a human being. This is a poor, defenseless animal.
Can we actually tell a story here?
All right. Okay. And I'm just going to read what it says here.
Okay. Okay. Don't add that. No, no knife.
It's easier to take out than just go away. In retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake. gotta get closer. But I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil, Eric told bemused doctors in the severe burn unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Eric and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kiki, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a fletching session had gone seriously. Fletching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kiki shouted, Armageddon! Like you, they ain't had enough.
As usual.
I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him.
Explain what the gerbil facing.
At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next.
Turning around.
The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas, and a flame shot out of the tubing, igniting Eric's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Eric suffered second-degree burns and broken nose from the impact of the gerbil, What's the other guy? Kiki suffered first and second degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. And then at this, here he has top nine serious things about this story. Number nine is, I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum.
Number eight, so I peered into the tube, I'm sorry, but that's like looking through a telescope into hell. I don't use binoculars to stare at the sun.
Number seven, that poor gerbil who obviously suffers from low self-esteem being shot at the guy's ass like Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Number six, suffering a broken nose from a gerbil being launched out of someone's anus. I'm guessing, but I seriously doubt the gerbil was springtime fresh after his drilling into Kiki full of love.
Oh, well, that's great. Number five, people walking around with these volcanic-like buckets of gas in their rectums.
Number four, people who do this kind of thing and then admit that they were doing it when taken to the emergency room. Sorry, but I think I would have made up a story about a gang of roving pyromaniac anal sex fiends breaking into my house and sodomizing me with a charcoal lighter fluid before admitting the truth. I'm an old-fashioned, but I just can't imagine looking at a doctor and saying, well, Doc, it's like this. You see, we have this gerbil named Raggett, and we took a card for it, too.
Number three. First and second degree burns to the anus. Wouldn't this make the burning itch and discomfort of hemorrhoids? How does one ever take a healthy dump after something like this? And the smell of burning anus must be the top five most horrible things on the face of God's green earth.
Number two, people named Kiki, which is obviously a Polynesian word for idiot white men who insert rodents up their butts.
Number one, what kind of hospital would hold a press conference on this?
They didn't say it was in Salt Lake City.
Ah, I see.
I remember reading a Savage Love column. The guy was completely debunking the possibility of how could somebody put a cardboard tube up their rectum? Never mind the gerbil.
Oh, yes.
Not going to go there.
We could go further with that.
But I suggest we don't.
Yes. No. We are in complete agreement. No argument here. Ever.
Go down that road.
Something I've got here called the stupid.
It's a subject that perhaps some of the research, and then when we find out, we'll kill them. We're having the research.
That's not the other one.
I think so. It's called the Stupid Page.
A while ago.
Yeah. Let's do Stupid People. Actually,
there's some good ones.
We better do Gross Hospital Stories.
Gross Hospital Stories?
Like,
oh, okay.
I'll go up the intro. Well, waste time. Wasting time. Here we go.
Yeah.
What?
I was gonna say, why are you bothering? Because no one can see it anyways. But
no, it's for the video. Yes.
Okay.
Hello, boys and girls. This week, our story contains everything: self-humiliation, pain, grossness, and the second largest needle I've ever seen.
Is the largest needle you've ever seen in another story?
No, the largest needle I've ever seen had to do with something that wasn't so gross. It's a pericardial needle. The idea is it's supposed to puncture through the chest, through the sternum, through the pericardial sac, which is the tissue that covers your heart, that separates your heart from your lungs.
That's a thing in Pulp Fiction?
You know, I think actually,
yeah. It's going to go through.
Yes, by the way, you do not use a pericardial needle that way. You slip it between the cartilage that is attached to your sternum and your ribs.
Yeah.
This story starts when a man about 34 years old was brought into the hospital completely, well, he's not really unconscious because he was responsive in the fact that he was moving and was twitching and basically, actually he was delirious when he was brought in. He was, however, not responding to any verbal communication. He was not responding to any type of normal responses other than simple pain or pain stimulus. That's where you take a needle and you poke him in the foot and he would try to pull his foot away. He was running a fever, I think, of about 105 when we got him.
Mm-hmm.
So they start trying to lower his body temperature by doing an IV push with cooled saline.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they take saline that has a lower temperature than the body temperature,
yeah,
and they just basically put it into an IV. Real simple. Anyhow, this goes on for a few hours. They try everything they can to get a response out of this guy, and they try Narcan, because maybe it's like drugs, no problems. They do put a catheter in, check for basically... By the way, the catheter comes in later. I'm curious about something I've never been able to get an answer for.
Uh-huh.
They place the catheter in, they check his urine, find out if maybe it's diabetes.
Burpware?
No, it's not diabetes. This guy's having...
Burpware catheter?
Having, it's like none of the normal responses that they can think of. So we have this guy for a few hours. Now, he's rolling and thrashing so bad that we've had to strap him and restrain him to the bed. But he's so big that if you leave him unattended for more than a few minutes, he's actually able to pull through the restraints.
Wow.
Well, no, because we're not able to use, like, leather straps in this type of situation. All it is a vest, which basically crosses over the ties to the bed, and a pair of, like, just simple cloth restraints that you tie around the person's wrist to tie his hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Inky could come up with something better.
pretty sure Inky has come up with something.
Haven't you seen his
wrist? Yes, I have.
No.
So anyhow, and the way it was, we had to sit on this guy for hours. That's where you literally stand by his bed and just simply make sure he doesn't actually get up or pull any of his IV tubes out or anything. So they finally decide to transfer him into the recess room from the stretcher where we had him in just the standard emergency bay and start checking out different things. Now, in doing so, he rolls over and pukes all over my shoes. It's not that bad. I had that happen so many times, I don't want to talk about it. So, finally, after hours and hours of doing this, the doctor decides to test for something. He wants to find out if this man has meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, meningitis is either a bacteria or viral infection which causes the spinal column
and the tissue covering the spinal column and the tissue covering the brain to swell.
Mm-hmm.
This would cause all the responses that we had seen.
Uh-huh.
There's one problem. If it's bacterial meningitis, that's fine, because you can only pick that up if you ingest it or get an infection yourself. So it's very hard to actually pick up an infection like this.
Yeah.
If it's viral meningitis, from our close contact with this man, including the part where he puked on my shoes,
be good enough,
we get to go into quarantine.
Oh.
And possibly...
And could possibly get meningitis ourselves.
And
which basically something like one in about 10 people who gets meningitis dies.
There's a 10 sided die for you.
Yeah. we're all feeling really, really good about this, and it decides it's now time to basically test him. To do this, they have to do a spinal tap. Now, when a person is conscious for a spinal tap, you lay down on your side, allow the doctor to place a needle that's about 3.5 inches long into your spinal column by slipping it through the cartilage in between the column of your vertebrae. Yep. And if it's okay, the doctor will then draw back a small sample of fluid, which will come out clear, like almost a very viscous liquid.
Yep.
Very simple. Easy to do, except for it's very painful. But when a person is not responsive, what you have to do is you have to bunch his legs up to his chest, like a fetal position, and hold them there.
Okay.
Which means that I have to then lay across this man's entire body, cramping onto his legs.
Uh-huh.
And holding him down. Now, remember I mentioned the catheter? At some point when they transferred him from the standard emergency bay to our recess room, someone felt the need to remove the catheter. And then basically place him on the bed. No catheter, so he's free and just blowing in the wind, except for with his little hospital gurney on. Jersey, whatever you want to call it. So I lay across the legs because I'm the only one.
Hey, I'm stupid, I guess. What's a catheter?
A catheter is a tube that they place in through the urinary tract, through your penis, or through the urinary tract of a woman's vagina, all the way down into your bladder.
It goes
all the way to your bladder, so that when you need to go to the bathroom, it just transfers the liquid.
I get it. I understand.
So they decided to remove the catheter. So he lands on the bed. I bunch his legs up, which he's kicking and struggling, by the way. And he's a big boy. I'm holding on as tight as I can for dear life. The doctor sticks the needle in. And, of course, what does he do? His bladder lets go. Now, the normal response would be to let go and jump away, right? But I can't, because if we do, and he thrashes, the needle could then jab into some part of his spine, paralyzing him. So I have to lay there and hold on to this guy while he's urinating all over my chest, lap, and legs.
Listening in your face.
No. Okay, now here's the other gross part. I get to watch a 3-inch needle sticking into this guy's spine. Now remember I said how the fluid is supposed to come out?
Oh, no.
He has meningitis so bad, the fluid squirts out under its own pressure into the tube, and it's milky. The doctor had never, in 27 years of practicing medicine, he had never seen that contaminated a sample, ever.
Wow, did he die?
Just wait. So, he takes the sample, sends it down to the lab. I'm supposed to go home now, but I can't because we have to wait for the test to come back because if it's viral meningitis, I'm going into quarantine.
Where you stay?
Urine. So I go downstairs, grab a shower, take my uniform, dump it. I'm waiting. Finally, it comes back. It only turns out to be bacterial meningitis. Our boy went up to the CCU. That's critical care unit, where he stayed for 24 hours, at which point his temperature continued to rise despite their best ability to try and lower it. He got to 109 before he passed away.
Rusty.
They never got the sword, so they need the meningitis.
Then there's the capper that Dak forgot to mention, because I remember when this story happened, because he told me about it after it happened. This all happened over the Christmas and New Year's period.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It was right around that time. Also, the one good thing that did happen was my supervisor had shown up. Now, we referred to this man as Buster the Body Crab because he was an annoying itch you couldn't scratch. He was such a poser that we don't even want to go into it. He's currently working for CNN Railway as one of their police officers or whatever you call CNN Rail Cop.
Railroad Dick.
Yeah, Railroad Dick is a good word for him. And this complete and utter loser, upon finding out that we might be quarantined, was flipping out. The rest of us were kind of like, gee, this really sucks. Welcome to this job. And he's like losing it. He's spazzing because he just came in to basically help us because he wanted to be a big guy. Uh-huh. And, you know, oh, I can help out. I don't need any help. He said, yes, you do. So that's my gross story for the week.
That was pretty nasty.
It wasn't really that gross.
It was gross to me.
It took them that long to figure it might be meningitis.
We didn't have any other signs. It was basically, there was no samples. We just literally got this guy unconscious with a high fever and no other signs. It was a massive, basically, infection. So it was running like a wildfire through this guy's system.
Time for the show to end.
That was the first one, so thank you.
Yeah, it was very fast, actually. No, it's 11. No phone in.
And
we filled up the time.
And nobody's listening because...
There are six people listening right now.
Because of technical difficulties.
We have six people?
Right now. So it might hit a peak of 8 or 10, maybe.
What server's that?
D3 is, like, solid. That one's always up. But they have to connect to the IP address, so they can't type in the normal D3 Sonic crap, right? And
nobody can go to the showcast page?
Yes, because that's based on IPs, but I don't know if they do or know about that or anything like that. It's time for the show to end, so we're going to say bye to Caffeine High, Infoloop, and Lieutenant Major Zombie, who managed to make it into the IRC channel.
By the way, that was not projectile vomit, man. That was
DJ Psycho. And so we'll go around the room and say bye from left.
Bye from the girl on the left.
No, I don't want to do it.
Project
that moment,
man.
Goodbye.
I don't think we've ever had that.
Has he ever done that? Goodbye.
That's no smoke. That's a new one.
Yeah, he did. Goodbye from Dak. Bye.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, bye.
You have to say your name.
It still feels like I have snot in my nose.
We needed to know that.
Yeah, we don't need Drex to say his name. Everybody knows by his running commentary.
I think Sam Major Zombie wants to say bye to, I think.
Hi, welcome to Ramp Radio. Who is this?
Whoever they want.
I guess they have nothing to say, and they figured I'd hang up on them, so they
might have on them. I paid $10 to $20 that
time. I think what they did is they just hung up on us for a change.
Wrong number.
Or somebody got
not expecting that.
Yeah.
What? Well, that's too bad for them. So this is us saying bye, and this is me putting on the outro music until next week at 9 p.m. Sunday night.